I'm speaking to Dawn Smith for the New South Wales State Library's Oral History Collection. Today, Dawn will share with us her life story and particularly her experience of the rehabilitation of Mungo Man and an ancestral remains at Lake Mungo. The interview is at 8 Horden Street, Dayton, New South Wales, and it's the 16th of November 2017. A day before Mungo Man comes back to Lake Mungo. And just behind us, we're sitting outside, where are we sitting?
My daughter's.
Your daughter's house?
Yes. Yeah.
And we've got your grandson.
Grandson Jackson.
Jackson, and every now and then he peeks through the window out at us. He's the most beautiful boy.
Yeah.
Okay. Dawn, can you tell us where and when you were born?
I was born in Broken Hill. In 1948.
And can you remember the very first time you heard the story about the discovery of Mungo Lady and Mungo Man?
Well, it wasn't until the early 80s. Early 80s I've heard about it, yeah. Mm.
And what did you think when you heard that story about these people who lived over 40,000 years ago?
Oh, it was just unbelievable, you know. You know, to hear that our ancestors go that far back, you know.
And what did you think about the archaeologists coming up and discovering it, and Jimbola?
A lot of people sort of don't like our ancestors getting last name, you know, taking them into a museum and that and putting them in boxes. But then again, it was something good that happened because it's proved to us and a lot of other people that we are the first Australians, you know, dating that far back.
And it was a big difference, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Before that, they thought that Aborigines had been here 20,000
years. 20,000, yeah.
And it was far more.
Far more, yeah, than what we ever taught or anybody taught.
And very different that they had the way they were, Mungo Man and Mungo Lady were buried.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, not far apart from one another, not, you know, close by it was, yeah.
And what do you think about the remains that Ben of Mungo Man has been in Canberra at the Australian National University? Mm-hmm. For over 40 years, and Mungo Man is coming back. What did you think when the remains were there in Canberra for that time?
Well, we thought that it was far too long for him to be there. Far too long, you know. Like, well, they had enough time to do what they wanted to do and what they did do, you know. And keep him there. A long time after.
So were you pushing to have Mungo Man back?
Yeah, there was a group of us went down to Canberra a few times and tried, but every time it, you know, we was sort of put back in that. Yeah.
Put off.
Put off, yeah. Mm.
And were you also going to Canberra to get Lake Mungo to come back when she came back?
No, I didn't at the time. No, I didn't go down at the time. But I was there on the day she did come back. Mm.
And how was that? Can you tell me about that day?
It was unbelievable to see her there, you know. Well, we didn't see her, what's her name, but she was in a suitcase. But to be there, you know, on the day she did come back, yeah.
And has it made a difference, do you think, that she's back?
Yes, yeah, she's back, yeah, and she's back on country, you know, the place where she was taken from, you know.
And how does it make you feel?
Well, we're happy that she is back, you know, very happy.
And you said you weren't as involved with the different people who were pushing to have Mungo Lady back. What prompted you to actually go up to Canberra and try and get Mungo Man to come back?
Well, back then there was a committee that had more than three people on each group, and there was a, well, it must have been about 10 or 12 of us went down, I think, from the three groups.
And what are the three groups?
Neemba, which I am, a Neemba lady, and Barkanyi, and the Mati Mati. So three groups of people went down. Yeah.
So whose idea was it to go?
Well, it was always talked about at our meetings and that, you know. He should be back here, the Mungo Man. Yeah.
And why do you think it's important that Mungo Man returns?
Well, it's important that he come back to country, you know, where he's been taken from, you know, and his resting place.
And he's having a pity he's not alive, because he's having a pretty action-packed journey, isn't he?
Yes,
can you
tell
me about how they're getting him from Canberra to here?
Well, he's coming back in a Oliette car, and I think he's in a wooden coffin that was specially made, or it's an old one, and all the groups agreed for it to happen that way.
Did Jim Bowler organise that?
Well, the committee spoke about it. It was suggested, put through the meeting, and the committee agreed with it. Yeah. And
so they picked up Mungo Man from the National Museum.
Museum, yeah.
And have you heard any news back about how they're going? Because they're still on the road.
No, I haven't heard any news, but someone rang me yesterday and said that a lady that wanted to interview me was travelling with the group, yeah.
Oh.
So, yeah.
And
that's how I knew that he was on his way. She's travelling at the moment, yeah.
And that's funny, isn't it? They've got a hearse, an old Aboriginal
hearse. Old Aboriginal one, yeah.
Mm. That actually used to be used in Aboriginal funerals.
Funerals, yeah, yeah. Which is good, you know. It was an Aboriginal one, yeah.
Mm. I saw a photo of it, and it's got...
No, I never seen it yet, but we'll see it.
it's got Mungo number one on the number plates.
Yeah?
It's got an Aboriginal flag.
It's great, yeah.
It's great. So they picked it up in at the museum, picked up the not only his remains, but there's also remains of a whole lot of other people.
A lot, 100 and something others are coming back with him, yeah.
Yeah. So they stopped off. Do you know where they camped on the way?
I think it talked about Wagga was going to be a camp over. Mm.
And what other places were they going to?
Well, they did. I didn't hear that they was camping at any other places, only Wagga. But they was travelling through Wagga, Hay and Bannerannel, and from Bannerannel out to Mungo then.
And they're meeting up with communities along the way.
Yeah,
And having smoking ceremonies.
Smoking ceremonies, yeah.
Why didn't you go along?
No, they asked me to go, but I had appointments. You know, high specialist, and I'm just getting over the flu again. I had that, yeah.
Mm. Oh, that's no good.
Yeah.
And so a big day tomorrow. Mungo Man's going to finally be brought home to Lake Mungo.
Yes.
Where Landra Lakes.
Yeah.
You're heading out there?
Yeah, I'll be out there, yeah. If we get through, if it doesn't rain anymore, I suppose.
Yeah, we're a bit worried at the moment, aren't we? Because there's been a fair bit of rain.
Yes, yeah, just hope it holds off tonight.
So is it a dirt road into the...
It's a dirt road, always, from Bannerannel to Mungo and from here, out to Mungo. The bitumen through Bronga is only about 30 or 40 k's, and it's all dirt road.
And do they actually close the road if there's too much rain?
Yes, if it's big rain, they usually do, yeah. Mm.
Oh, and why do you think it's raining? It wouldn't have anything to do with Mungo
Lady.
That's
what we're all thinking. That's what we're all thinking, you know, that he could be bringing the rain, yeah. Mm.
Because it doesn't often rain up here, does it?
Yeah.
It's a bit of a coincidence.
Yeah, not always it rain out there, but he could be bringing it all with him.
And what do you think should happen with these remains when they come to?
Well,
back home.
We've had a number of meetings about it. Some agreed that he'd be put in a keeping place, and some agreed that it goes back where it was taken from, you know, in the ground. But there was a bit of a disagreement there, so I think it's going to be in a keeping place for a while, yeah.
So, is he going to be kept with Lady Munga?
Yes, I think so, yeah, somewhere Munga close, lady? Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
And so it'll be a really big day tomorrow. All of your family and
some of them are going out there.
Yeah.
Mm.
And other Nyampa people.
Yeah,
you know?
Other people are going out too. Yeah, and cars and that. Yeah.
You're looking forward to it?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Mm. Been out there. Yeah.
It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah. Yeah.
So could you describe to someone who doesn't live anywhere near here, maybe the other side of the world, what it's like out at Lake Mungo? I haven't been there yet.
Oh, they should come and have a look, because it's a very significant place, Mungo, you know. Even the Mungo man, you know, dating back 40 to 50,000 years, you know, it's something very special to us, you know. And it should be to the rest of the world, you know, that, yeah.
And what does it look like?
It's
dry and flat.
It gets a bit dry now and then, but most of the time it's green, yeah. Yeah.
And what can you describe for me what the is it the Great Wall of China looks like?
Oh, it's a beautiful place to be out there walking around, you know. We get tour guides to take tourists out on tours, you know, out around the walls of China, yeah. Mm.
And do you feel the vibe? Do you think the spirit is there? Or?
Oh, I feel very at ease when I'm out there, relaxed.
Calm.
I do, yeah.
And then there's a big concert in Mildura on Saturday.
Saturday, yeah.
For Archie Roach's coming to sing, yeah. And it's going to be a huge celebration.
Yes.
Are you going along to that?
Yeah, I am, yeah. And,
you've got
some of the family, yeah.
Yeah, and the grandkids and the great-grandkids.
Yeah, some of them will go, yeah. Mm.
Has there been much talk about in Dayton or in Mildura?
Yeah, a lot of people is talking about it, yeah. Mm.
They're looking forward to it?
Looking forward to it. Yeah. Mm.
So, if you were talking to I know you've already got great grandchildren, but your great 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 grandchildren in 50 years' time, how would you talk to them about what's happened this week? How would you describe it?
Mm. Oh, it. You know, I'll think about this one. Well, it's a very, very special occasion that we're having here at this time. It's it's the year of 1917, the 16th of November, 2020. It's a very special year.
2017.
Yeah, for us. And it's also be a very special place for you to go and see, you know, when you're old enough. Yeah. I'd love you to go out.
And can you tell us about your ancestors? What do you know about your ancestors?
My ancestors would have been very pleased too, you know, for this day. Yeah.
Why would they be happy, do you think?
Knowing that, you know, one of their ancestors has finally come home after being taken away for 40 years, you know. Mm. knowing that he's back on country.
Why is it important for him to be back on country, do you reckon?
Well, it's the place where he was taken from, you know, and no one wants to be, you know, in a box for that long, you know. We would never want to be like that, you know. I think he proved it for all of us, you know. You know.
And
that we're the first Australians, you know.
And such a long time ago.
Such a long time ago. Thousands and thousands, well, 40 to 50,000 years is a very, very long time.
And what do you know about your own grandparents?
My grandparents, my grandmother, she lived around Craratank. My grandmother and my great-grandmother, great-great-grandmother. And my mum was born not far from Mungo, at Moscow. Just out from Mungo.
And do you know about your mum's childhood?
She grew up in Craratank. She grew up there.
And that was a mission.
That was a mission. And when the along with all of her sisters and brothers, there was a lot of them, yeah. And there was a big family of them there, yeah. And when the tank dried up then in 1930-something, I think. 30-something, they was all moved to another mission, Minindi Mission, yeah, not far from there, yeah.
And do you know why the tank dried up?
Well, I suppose all the water, you know, no rain, I suppose.
Trash, yeah.
It was very dry back then, yeah.
And did your mum ever talk about what life was like at Carrara or in Minindi?
Not at Carrara, but she did about Minindi, yeah, yeah. The younger brother and sisters all went to school and that there, yeah. School, they had their own school and had a manager there, yeah.
And that was run by the Aboriginal Protection Board,
yeah, back then, yeah.
And they moved quite a lot of people. There's about 250 Nyampa people?
Yes, moved to there, yeah, from Craratank, yeah.
So what was life like at the different stations? At the different
they
missions.
All liked it there, but then it wasn't long after then they moved them again. Like, that's where a lot of them split up. Some went different ways, you know, and my mum and all of her brothers and sisters all went back to another mission called Murrin Bridge. That was in 1949. All moved into mission houses in Murrin Bridge.
And was life the same in the mission houses as it is now?
As now?
Yeah. How was it different?
No, it's a bit different now. Like back then you had managers, you know, Child Protection Board and that. But now it's more freely now, run. You know, people run it themselves, you know.
Do their own thing.
Do their own things now.
Did your mum know any other children who were taken away from
their
parents?
Yes,
Your mum wasn't taken away?
No, mum wasn't. No, it wasn't. It was like some of the younger ones. Younger one was taken, yeah. Mm.
Her younger brother?
No, younger people that was on the mission, you know, their children,
right.
Yeah. And I myself and my sister, when I was going on 14, I was taken by the protection board too, you know, and sent away to work in Sydney.
Where were you then when you were taken away?
In Murrin Bridge Mission,
out of school. Yeah. So your mum was on that mission, and then how did she meet your dad?
They met in Minindi.
Minindi
Mission, yeah. Mm.
And what was his name?
Arthur Taylor.
And your mum's name?
Grace Taylor, Nee King. Yeah. And he's from Deneliquin, Moonakala Mission.
And did he ever tell you about what life was like on that mission?
Which one?
The Mona Kala.
Oh, not really. He grew up there with his mum and dad and all his brothers and sisters, yeah. And they all worked out on stations and that,
yeah. Yeah. And you were born on which mission?
I was taken, like when Mama was in Menindi mission.
Yeah.
That was the closest hospital, Broken Hill. Right. So Mum had me there in Broken Hill Hospital.
So you were born in Broken Hill, but you lived at Menindi Mission.
I was 1 year old when Mum moved from Menindi Mission to Murrumbidgee Mission.
Do you remember what it was like on the mission, living there as a little girl, like the same age as your great-grandchildren?
No, I don't remember that. I was only 1 year old then.
Yeah, but do you remember the next mission that you went to? What was that like?
Oh, Murrumbidgee, yeah. I done my schooling and that in Murrumbidgee, and then at the age of 13, 14, that's when they got me out of school, protection board, and sent me down to Sydney to work at that age, at a young age.
Did your mum and dad want you to go?
No. Well, they had no say over anything, you know, the protection board, you know.
Forced you to go.
It was something, they had the power over everybody.
Yeah. Were you sad?
Well, I was taken away to a strange place. Didn't know there was a big city around, you know. Sent on a train, just me and one of my cousins was sent to the same place, and they had us working there when we was only 13, 14.
Where was that?
In Sydney. Scotch College, I think, at the time, yeah. It was a whole people's unit. Yeah. Mm.
And you had to look after the old people?
We used to, you know, do the washing up and that, helping with old people, yeah. But being only 13 or 14, you know, I cried when I went, I can remember, yeah. Yeah. Leaving Mum and Dad, and, you know, because they didn't give permission for us to be taken, you know, our parents.
And you had a lot of brothers and sisters?
Yes, yeah.
How many?
Well, there was seven brothers, seven sisters, but we lost a sister and a brother before I was born, you know. Mm.
But so you must have missed them as well.
Yeah, well, I did, yeah.
And was that the first time you'd been in a big city?
The first time. I didn't even know there was a big world, you know, not being out of Murrumbidgee, the mission.
And where's Murrumbidgee near?
It's about 90 k's from Helston. And Griffiths, about 150 k's, I think, from Griffiths, yeah.
So it's a long way from
Lake Angelica. And the town is Lake Angelica, yeah, which is about 10 kilometres away, I think, the town, yeah. Mm.
And so how long did you work at that place with your cousin?
I was there for a year and a half, I think. Yeah, about a year and a half, yeah. And I missed out on a lot of my schooling, and Dad, when he passed away not long after I come home, you know, didn't spend much time with him, you know. Yeah.
And when did you leave there?
I went down with my cousin then, one of my friends. I come down with them down to Dayton. You know, they come down.
So you were allowed to leave? They let you leave?
Up in Sydney, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm, yeah.
And how old were you then?
I was about 15, I think. 15, yeah. Mm.
So you'd had enough?
Yeah, well, I was fretting for home, you know, and yeah. Yeah.
So you stayed working in the same place the whole time?
Yeah, the same place, yeah, all the time, yeah, me and my cousin, yeah.
Were they kind to you?
Oh, not really. Not really. We had to do what we was told to do, yeah.
And did you get paid?
Well, we didn't at the time. We didn't. No.
Didn't get any money at all?
No. They, only about 3 years ago, well, after 40-something years, yeah, 46 years, they decided to pay me just 11,000. It's a stolen wages, where all the interest went. All the time.
It's a long time to have to wait for your wages.
Yeah, well, that's right. Mm.
And Your mum and dad have passed away, I suppose.
Your dad passed away
when you, not long after.
Not long after I come back, And
so what did you do when you came back home?
I stayed there for a while with mum and dad, and then I just came down with, down here with one of my cousins then, and her mum down to dad, because I had a brother down here. Two brothers was here,
And you had your, what work were you doing then?
Picking grapes and that. Grape picking and all that, yeah. And a lot of seasonal work, you know.
And you started your own family?
Yes, yeah, and that's what we took on, the seasonal work. Yeah, we had our kids in the block with us.
So you worked and looked after the kids at the same time?
At the same time, and yeah, we used to take them. You know, like when they got old enough, they went to school and that.
Yeah.
And after school, they'd come in the block with us.
So you're working on other people's farms?
When I had my last boy, he was only 1 year old, we moved out on a fruit block and my husband managed it. He managed it for about 7 or 8 years, I think. He was the manager there.
And what's his name?
Roland.
Roland
Smith, yeah.
And he's still alive?
No, he passed away about 13 years ago now, 12 or 13 years.
And how did you meet Roland?
Well, my brother was married to his sister. You know, and we was close by, yeah.
And what was it about him that you liked?
Oh, he was a kind person and he was a real cultural man. Most of what I learnt, like when I come up here, I used to go, you know, places with him in the bush, you know.
Yeah. And where was he from?
He was born in Menindi. Menindi, yeah. And he lived here, well, most of his life too, you know.
And was what clan was he from, what tribe?
He's the Barkanyi Marara, yeah.
And do they work well together?
Yeah, they do, yeah. Barkanyi Marara, yeah.
And how many kids? Tell us about your kids.
I had 8 children. I lost one girl, the youngest girl, yeah. I got 2 girls and 5 boys.
And what are their names?
The oldest one is named Grace, the girl, and Carol. My other daughter I lost was named Rose. And the oldest fellow, the boy, young Roland. Oh, he's not young now, he's 52. And then Bruce, David, Stuart and Nicholas.
And do they all live around here?
Yes, well, one fellow stays in Wentworth, another fellow in Mayerbin.
And what do they do?
One of my sons, he works out on the Namajira Reserve, you know, doing work out there. And the following, maybe he do, you know, all seasonal work and up there.
And you've got some beautiful great-grandchildren
that I've seen. Yes,
grandkids too,
yeah.
Do you spend a lot of time with them?
Yeah, most of the time. I see him most of the time, yeah.
And have you got anything else you'd like to tell me?
No, I think I said what I wanted to say, like, you know, the homecoming of Mungo Man is something will stick with us for a long time, you know, with me.
Makes you feel good.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Great, thank you.
Thank you for that.